It's a new world. Is your business positioned to make the most of it? Content Marketing 360 will bring you an all-around full picture of marketing in today's consumer-driven climate. This show combines the traditional with the digital, the offline with the online, and the balance of real-time PR and evergreen content. Learn from the top marketing minds in the world as each episode offers insight and information you can use in your business today. Now, here's your host, content and new media marketing enthusiast, Pamela Muldoon.
Welcome to Content Marketing 360 Radio Show, the online radio show, or if you prefer, podcast that connects the 360-degree conversation for your content marketing. I am your host, Pamela Muldoon, principal of Next Stage Media Group and student of all things content marketing. I just can't seem to get enough, so I love doing what I do, which is have the opportunity to connect with some of the best minds in the content marketing industry from all over the globe. And today's guest will be, as always, another insightful conversation, I guarantee it, and of course one that each of us needs to listen to if we are doing any digital marketing whatsoever. This is all about the website today, your website, perhaps your lack of website, or perhaps just simply the website that is the brochure that needs a little bit of updating and better activity. It is the mothership, the marketing hub. It is the place where you want to drive your traffic to and share all the good work that you do. So some questions for you today before we dive into our conversation with our guest. Is your site working for you? Is it speaking to your target audience? Are you converting traffic into qualified leads? Some big questions to ask as we dive in. And, of course, if you answered no to any or all of these questions, first and foremost, I don't think you're alone. There's so many websites and so many opportunities that we all could use a little bit of improvement. But today is the day that we're going to learn a bit more on how to improve your website situation, because I will be talking with none other than the conversion scientist himself, Brian Massey. And of course, his company in Austin, Texas, Conversion Sciences, is all about converting, getting the right traffic to your site. It starts with the development process. And of course, that connects the dot directly to content marketing. What you put on that site is crucial, is key to how you get folks to come stay at your site, stay there for more than 3 seconds, and possibly convert into a lead generation opportunity to build more on your bottom line situation. So we're going to be talking to Brian today. Fantastic interview on deck. Of course, I have to give a shout out to our friends at Content Marketing Institute, who partner with Content Marketing 360 Radio Show to connect the dots for us on some of these great professionals in the content marketing industry. I adore our partnership. And Brian is, of course, an author. We're going to be talking about his book today, which is Your Customer Creation Equation, Unexpected Website Formulas of the Conversion Scientist. And yes, it was published through CMI Books, the publishing arm of Content Marketing Institute. So we want to make sure you learn a little bit more about CMI, CMI Books, and maybe you, too, could be a published author very, very soon.
Content Marketing Institution is looking for a few good authors. If you are a marketing expert who has always wanted to write that book but not sure how to get it off the ground, publishing with CMI Books may just be the right fit. Content Marketing Institute is currently interviewing marketing professionals who have an authentic, genuine desire to help others by sharing their knowledge and have an expertise in specific areas that currently have an information gap. CMI Books wants to partner with you in the publishing process, not just simply publish your book. If you are currently presenting on your topic, have a well-established audience base, and are active as a social networker, and have built a solid online presence, you could be a perfect candidate for a publishing partnership with CMI Books. To find out if publishing your book with CMI Books is right for you, send an email to cmibooks@contentinstitute.com to request further information on next steps. You can also learn more at their website, contentmarketinginstitute.com. Who knows? Maybe you will be talking about your book on a future episode of Content Marketing 360.
My guest today on Content Marketing 360 Radio Show is, he's a guest that you have to listen to if you have a website. And if you don't have a website, shame on you, because this is the digital age for sure. And Brian Massey is the conversation scientist at Brian Massey is the conversion scientist as part of our conversation. Getting in on a conversation about conversion. We're going to have all sorts of alliteration going on in this conversation about Conversion Sciences, which is also the name of his company in Austin, Texas. And he is a brand spanking new author here in 2012 of a book that you have to catch. This book, it is fantastic in terms of learning how to convert your website to more traffic that gets you qualified leads. It is called Your Customer Creation Equation, and it's the Unexpected Website Formulas of the Conversion Scientist, none other than Brian Massey. Welcome to Content Marketing 360 Radio Show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Excellent. So here we go. We're already starting the alliteration, customer creation, conversion, conversation. So say that fast three times, right, Brian? My goodness.
We do have quite a few syllables flying around here. It's the nature of the business.
It is. And, of course, this is an audio content piece, so the more that we can share some interesting audio, the better. So I appreciate all that alliteration. And you are going to talk to us today about an important very important conversation that anyone in marketing, whether you're content marketing, doing traditional web development in your marketing, if you're a business owner, a marketer, this is so much an important part of what we do in marketing, and that is the web development of converting your website to more traffic, more qualified leads. So as we dive into that conversation, I want you to tee us up a little bit. You call yourself the conversion scientist, which I think is a fantastic title, by the way. And tell me a little bit about that. How did you become the conversion scientist, and what makes Brian tick there in Austin, Texas today after all these years working in marketing?
Yeah, well, after years, I find myself with a strange combination of experiences, talents, and neuroses that really didn't fit into any other bucket. I'm a computer scientist by training, graduated from Texas A&M University, for all the Aggies out there.
Right, yeah, got to get that right, Brian, you know that.
yeah, and when I graduated, instead of going the technical route, I ended up in technical sales, and then ended up working for a small company where I had enough sales opinions that they said, you know, you should really do the marketing for us. So that got me into the marketing side of things. In the 90s, I ran my own software web consulting company where I got to combine the two, and then spent several years after closing that working for other companies and setting up their online marketing infrastructure. I wrote my own analytics package before we had analytics packages available that would measure what was going on the website and give us insights. And you know, how you bring all of these things together is really just you have to invent yourself. So that's what I did, and it's been a fantastic journey since.
Well, reinvention is definitely a huge part of marketing in today's economy and world, where change is a definite constant, right? And the conversion scientist, like I said, it's a great title, yet it does really encompass the specific area in the marketing process that is obviously a passion, because you wrote the book on it, Brian.
It is a passion. Yeah, helping businesses improve their bottom line is at the same time improving the website overall. I mean, visitors are finding what they're looking for. So I really see my job as improving the web as a whole, one website at a time.
Well, I love that. One website at a time. Thank you for doing that, because there are a lot of bad websites out there, Brian. So we users appreciate that you're making the web a better place. And, of course, we're going to talk
–
It does, and that's good that it keeps you busy. Of course, there are those that have websites out there ready, rocking, and doing some great things, and then there are folks listening today that know that they need to do better with what they have, and I'm assuming there's still a group of folks that are still wondering, should I even get this website up and running? Is this internet thing going to stick around, or is it just a fad? So we have a lot of folks in our audience that are going to appreciate what you share with us today, and so let's dive into this conversion science. Let's really break this down, because conversion, I've been working in marketing and business development for a number of years as well, and so the conversion conversation is one I have been familiar with, but for many, this might be the first time they really get their chance to dissect and really understand what you mean when you say conversion rate. So tell us a little bit about conversion, and what exactly are you talking about when you say a conversion rate and how it connects to specifically your website?
Sure. A conversion rate is really a simple fraction. It's a percentage, X over Y. And the fraction is comprised of these two things. On the bottom, you have the number of people that you're bringing to your site. And if you're doing content marketing, if you're doing search engine optimization, you are investing in getting people to your site. And certainly if you're doing advertising, pay-per-click advertising, search advertising, you're paying another company for the eyeballs that are coming to your site. So the bottom of the equation is all the people that are coming to your site through your amazing efforts. The top is the number of people that take some action on your site. They do something like sign up for your newsletter. They purchase a product. They sign up for a webinar. They download a white paper. You decide what is important for your business in terms of what you want people coming to your site to do. You count up the number of people that are successfully doing that, and you end up with the conversion rate, the number of people who take action over the number of people who come to the site and could take action. It'd be like measuring the number of people that go into a grocery store. How many people go into a grocery store and leave without buying something? Not very many. On the web, conversion rates are 1%, 2%, 3%. Can you imagine a grocery store that had only 2% of the people actually went through the checkout process and everybody else left?
Right.
It wouldn't be very helpful.
And
so that's the conversion rate.
And this is such an important part of setting up the marketing on the website. And I just really want our audience to, okay, you know, if you're listening today and you're a business owner, if you're in marketing and you're specifically working in content but haven't really had a chance to dive into how does my content drive activity, this is going to be a very important conversation for you. Because, Brian, when you talk about this conversion rate, that ratio of traffic to your website and then folks that actually do an activity or take an action, I think we're starting to understand why a business needs to know this, but let's talk a little bit about some of that basic foundation. What is knowing this information going to do to help me? Why is it important for me to understand that I'm getting 1,000 visitors a day, but I'm only getting 3 people to actually take action? Why is that important, and then where can I start to do something with that information?
Yeah, the reason is this. Small changes in conversion rates can result in big increases in revenue and significantly lowered marketing costs. So let's take your 1,000. If I have 1,000 people come to my website and I have a 1% conversion rate, that means 10 people are taking action on my site, downloading the white paper, buying something. I can go out and double my advertising spend to get 2,000 people to my website, and then I would expect to get 20 purchases. The truth of the matter is, as you begin to reach out, your conversion rates go down. The flip side of that is if I didn't go out and buy that extra traffic, but I invested a little time on my site and moved my conversion rate from 1% to 2%, I get those 20 purchases without having to buy the extra traffic. So this small change, it's a doubling of your conversion rate, but it's a change from 1% to 2%, doubles my revenue, doubles my customers, or doubles my leads. And this is just such a powerful math that it can't be ignored. So when you understand what makes people take action, or maybe what's getting in the way, and change it, you can really have significant impact on your bottom line without buying more traffic.
Well, and I love that we're talking about getting more for less, basically, right? By just tweaking. And and doing a little bit of change. And I think that's a really important part of what you're saying here as the conversion scientist, Brian, because a lot of times, you know, I came from the industrial model marketing where if we were, you know, if my company that I was working with was getting, they weren't hitting their numbers per se. It was all about go get more, right? You know, make more calls or get more leads per se. But if I'm hearing you correctly, you're really going to kind of map out today for our listeners. And of course, it's mapped out in even greater detail, folks, in the book that Brian has created just for you, that it's a slight change that can get us to get more qualified traffic that increases our conversion, but not necessarily increases the bottom number, the traffic. You can still work with that same bottom number, but it's all about getting that top number to increase over time based on your activity, the little changes that you do.
I like to say it's about getting people above the line, getting them from that bottom to the top.
I love it. I love it. And so one of the areas that you touch on in your book is the Digital Conversion Laboratory, which I think is fantastic. Mm-hmm. So can you just tell us a little bit, what is this Digital Conversion Laboratory? And if I'm a business owner or a marketer who's really, this is an initiative, say, for the next year, for 2013, that I want to dive into, how can I start to set up my own lab?
Yeah, so the Digital Conversion Laboratory is, let me start by saying that we live in kind of a magical time here. The internet is very measurable. I can watch and see who comes to my site, who leaves, what pages they leave from, how many people are taking action. It's much easier to understand how people are interacting with my business than if I am in the bricks and mortar world. Very, very measurable. And there are a number of tools that are very, very inexpensive or absolutely free that are at my disposal. So in my book, I talk about some of these tools that are free and cheap that will tell me, for instance, how my competitors are doing there, a little spy equipment. There are analytics packages that are absolutely free, and if you want to geek out and dive into the reports and things, you can do that. But these tools, easy to install and free, will tell you the key pieces of information you know. And if you want to calculate your conversion rate, it will tell you how many people are coming to your site and how many people are taking action. So you can very easily calculate that. Then you start to get in and understand, well, where are they coming from? How many of these people are coming from search? How many of these people are coming from referrals, from friendly sites or other sites? If I'm advertising, how many people are coming to those? Which articles on my blog are being read. And as you start to get in, you develop this understanding of what works and doesn't work for your visitors so you can change it. So the Digital Conversion Lab is this really collection of tools, most of them accessed through a browser, that gives a business owner or a website manager the ability to ask questions and get answers about what's going on in their online business.
Excellent. And again, we want to reiterate, there are a lot of, and I'd love to say geek out because I tend to do that. I tend to go down the rabbit hole, Brian, and take a look at all these amazing tools. And there are some that are free, low cost. It really runs the gamut. And you do a wonderful job, Brian, of sharing with us in your book some examples of how, based on your resources, capabilities, whether it's a time resource, money resource, on how you can start to set up your own lab. So I think that's this outlined so well. And, of course, Google Analytics is one that if we aren't already using it, we should be using for sure because it's right there at our fingertips and one that is probably most commonly used. But there are many others as well. And you mentioned tracking traffic in terms of change. A question that I have for you that as you're walking through this, is there a, and maybe, you know, how subjective is the, how long should I track change before I make an adjustment? Is there a rule of thumb for that? Is it kind of all over the place? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it depends. So you want to be tracking your visitors from the get-go, because what you're really doing is you're building up a database that you can go back and ask questions into. So every page that somebody visits on your site gets saved by a tool like Google Analytics, and it is a fantastic free tool. And so if you have a question about, I wonder if people would like this topic, you can actually go back and maybe see how many people visited similar pages in the past. So I say start measuring and always be measuring your traffic with analytics. The first step, if you're not familiar with some of these tools, is to just do a before and after. So you've collected this data for 30 days, and let's say you want to make a change. You want to change a headline, maybe you want to change some of the designs on your site, or even something as simple as putting up a new blog post. Then you get to go in and look and see, okay, before people were coming and staying for this long, afterwards, maybe they're staying a little bit longer, or maybe they're visiting more pages, or maybe this is getting shared more. All these things start to come out. If you use email marketing, it's a great way to say, how effective is my email? I'm sending all these emails out. I seem to get a few more orders as a result, but are there really more people coming to my site? It's all there in the simple charts and graphs in your analytics package. If you want to really do some scientific testing, there are some rules of thumb. You want to leave it running no less than a week, and you want to have enough traffic visits to get a statistically reliable sample. Usually we say at least 100 conversions per treatment. So what you're doing is you're putting up one page and another page, sharing the traffic across the two and seeing which one gets you the most money in your pocket. You want to do 100 conversions on each of those at least and more. Most of the tools that you use for that will actually tell you the confidence levels and help you understand when to end the test. But those tools are also inexpensive, relatively easy to use. But you'll need to read the book because we start to want to set up tests that make sense. We can test a lot of things that don't make sense, or we can test too many things so we don't really learn anything. So there is an art when you start getting into this, what we call split testing.
Yeah. Well, and it is. It really is. It's an art and a science all rolled into one. And I'm pretty darn grateful, Brian, that you're helping us dissect us, because this is, you know, we have to be data dogs in today's world to really be able to, like you said, the ability to measure the web is really pretty phenomenal, but it can feel pretty darn overwhelming. So, you know, building out roadmaps based on your objectives and what you want to actually get from your audience, or what you hope them to do through the activity you're asking them to do, really, it does become a true science. And you have actually conversion formulas, which for someone like me, I love systems. I love process. So I really got a kick out of this part of your book, because it starts to visualize how a formula can be created on the web to a conversion process, which is pretty phenomenal. So you have 5 primary formulas in terms of conversion and how that works with the web. So why don't you, if you're willing, walk us through in this wonderful audio context, what are these conversion formulas, and why is this process so important when you're working with a business owner or a marketer for the conversion?
Sure. So the practice, the industry practice of website optimization or conversion rate optimization, is really focused on how pages function. So we're looking at what copy is on the page, what images we're using, button colors, the length of forms. But for most sites, they really need to start off by creating a conversion ecosystem. It is more of a conversation. So there are a set of basic strategies that should be in place that get you to that point where you can start optimizing. And almost 6 years now, I've been talking about these 5 types, and no one has ever come up with a website that didn't fit into one of these types. There's the brochure, which is simply that you're putting up a site to help people find you or find your business. It really is what most people imagine a website to be, is make me look good and make it easy to contact me. Restaurants are a great example of people who would want to put up a brochure site. Someone's looking for a place to eat. They're looking for a map. They're looking for a reason to justify coming to your restaurant. That's a great example. Dry cleaners. I'm looking for a place to go. So that's what a brochure is for. The online store is for people who want to buy something and can buy something online. Amazon obviously is the king daddy of the online store, but it can be a catalog of products, or it can be a single product. In fact, an online store can be a single page landing page that says, here's all the great things about my product, and here's how to buy. The publication site is for those that are providing information online. They're selling something that is consumed online, or they're selling advertising around content. So the popular blogs that sell advertising, they're a publication site. It's very much like the magazine publication that you would see on a newsstand. The consultative side is typically a business-to-business service. So these are for sites that have long sales cycles and expect there to be a lot of people involved in the decision-making process. Expensive services or expensive softwares, they really have to be consultative in their approach, and the website needs to match that. And then finally, there's the online service. And this is where I'm going to go online and consume a service. I use an online service for bookkeeping. There are online services for just almost everything from you're using an online service to record this podcast as we're talking right now.
Right.
The social networks are online services. I'm going online to entertain myself or connect with people, or in the case of businesses, to market myself. Those are online services. So those are the five basic what I call the customer creation equations, the primary formulas. And each one of them has 3 to 5 primary things that you've got to get right to make them work.
Well, and when you are, and this is so important, again, I just love that you've created a system because it really, there's something about process and systems, Brian, that actually provide more creativity, right? So you've given me a starting roadmap to at least, this is what my website currently looks like, or this is the conversion formula it falls into, or this is the one I would like to have. So how do I do that? If I'm now taking a conversion formula, one of these 5 that you've shared with us, brochure, online service, whatever the case is, how do I know that it is the right one for my site? And then if it is or isn't, how do I start creating the formula that's best for my business? What is that process like?
Yeah, so there's a series of questions that you want to ask, and I think they were hinted at in my my summary. Is someone going to consume your product online, or are they going to consume it offline? That forms the distinction, for instance, between a publication site and an online store, where you're selling something physical. Does your visitor can they purchase the product online? Can they go ahead and complete the transaction? For a consultative site, they really can't typically complete the purchase online because it's a big decision. Publication sites selling advertising, there's really nothing to complete unless you're asking for or selling subscriptions. Those are the 2 primary things. And it becomes very clear, most of the web is a bunch of brochures, and it's unfortunate because the brochure is really only important for those situations where you have to provide information about your business and talking about you and yourself when most people are trying to solve problems. Mm-hmm. So ask those 2 questions. The places where people get a little bit confused is typically between, am I running a publication site or a consultative site? Because if you're selling a complex product or a long sales cycle product, you really do want to set yourself as a publisher because you're helping people make a decision. You're educating them on how to solve their problems, typically complex problems, and establishing yourself as a thought leader. But otherwise, I think it's pretty straightforward. Brochure for it's all about me and my products, which you usually don't want to do. The online store, if I have physical products that can be purchased online. Publication site, if I have online content that is being consumed online. Consultative site for business to business. And the online service in which they're coming and using my site as a tool. Does that help?
Perfect. No, this is great because it really is. I'm sure as folks are tuning in and listening to what you're sharing today, Brian, it really is a great starting point. It starts the process of now creating that beautiful content, which is how I want to connect the dot a little bit for our show here, Content Marketing 360, is, of course, what you put on your site and how you share your information really connects to both of these elements, right? The conversion process, like you said, tracking the content that's being downloaded or consumed, and then, of course, choosing the conversion formula, the way the site's going to be mapped out, is also very connected to content. So when it comes to the content process, what is, you know, kind of a starting point, or how do I know that I'm creating content that is connecting to conversion? Obviously, there's the measurement, but how do you start that conversation with your customers who ask you, well, what should I put on my site? Get this going.
Well, we've all been exposed, I think, to the marketing or the sales funnel. At its simplest, and I like simple, it has three parts where a person becomes aware that your company solves a problem that they have. And then they go into a process where they're considering the different solutions to their problem. And ideally, if you've done a good job at the awareness level, they're considering you in this process as well. And then the process where they just need the information that allows them to take action, to purchase, to click, to download, whatever action you want them to take. So we want to make sure that we're addressing each of these with our content. And to give you an example, someone who has a complex problem in the business-to-business world. They're trying to understand how to make things easier for their employees, or they're trying to put together a solution that will optimize their financial processes. When they come to a website, their question is not, is this company good? Their question is, so what should I consider in solving this problem? Yet we typically bring them to a website that's all about us. The Eisenberg brothers call this wee-weeing all over yourself.
Yep.
We are the leader. Our company is known for these things. We provide these things. We offer these services. The visitor's not in that point. What they want to hear is, here's some tips on your problem. Let us help you understand your problem. And then when I move into consideration, it's, here's how we help solve these problems and why we think we're the right solution. And then at the bottom, when they're considering taking action, that's when you hit them with the wee-wee. You can trust us, we're credible, and our product has these very specific features to help you rationalize your purchase. And this funnel can be applied to any of the five formulas, probably with the exception of the brochure, since there's typically not a call to action on the brochure site. So you want your content to address those different stages. Don't assume people are coming to learn about you and pose and talk about how wonderful you are. You wouldn't do that at a dinner party. Teach them something. Help them understand their problem. Then talk about how you solve that problem. And then hit them with, here's why you really should trust us and go ahead and buy.
Excellent. And I love that you've really connected the dot there, Brian, to a sales process and your website. Because, if websites, and correct me if I'm wrong, but if they're created well, they can touch all those components in just, you know, by clicking through pages. You know, back in the day, it was get them on the phone, then convert them to a meeting, then, you know, sit across in the conference room and show them the PowerPoint or the presentation or whatever the case is, right? But we have that capability, if we understand our audience really well, to use our website kind of as a salesperson onto itself, it sounds like.
Yes, you can. You can. I mean, we have so much capability with websites now. Think about something as simple as a blog. So one of the simplest sites to put up is a WordPress blog. But in those blogs, I can do video. I can put huge infographics. I can obviously write articles. I can put pictures. I can put podcasts and attach those. I can deliver almost anything I like or that I'm good at from a content standpoint on the web. So I can really appeal to the broadest sense, the broadest audience of people, whether they're visual or audio or like to read. It's really, really a fantastic time to be mobile. And when you add to that fact, you can measure everything that's going on. You really can manage an online business in ways you never could do a brick-and-mortar business.
Well, and this touches on, you know, we talk about getting traffic to our site, and of course, the process of getting traffic to our site involves a lot of different promotion capabilities, such as, say, social media, offline promotion, writing a great book, perhaps, Brian, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so we really do have to incorporate the promotion element as well, but tell us a little bit. It is sounding more and more, and I know this, sometimes to those of us in marketing it seems more obvious, but there are a lot of folks that really rely on the promotion tools as a more of a home base than, say, their website. But it sounds like you're really teaching us that your website is still the probably one of the most, if not the most important piece of real estate in your marketing arsenal.
Oh, yes. And I think one of the mistakes we make is we're not jealous of our traffic. So one of the things that I see on websites is there's a lot of landing pages. So I'm putting an effort to create content, to optimize my site, to pay for advertising, to bring traffic. And the first thing people see is, go to Facebook and like us. Well, we need to hang on to that traffic and start a conversation with them. So there's things like that that as you start to look at your analytics and start to understand your online business, you're going to make better decisions about that. Why pay Google a dollar to get somebody to click through and then send that traffic off to Mark Zuckerberg? He's got enough. He doesn't need any of your traffic.
No, that is such a valid point, because I know, especially in the small business world where there's a lot of limited resources, sometimes using these sites that are quote-unquote free, we become dependent on that process. And, of course, if we're using something as great as a conversion formula and understanding conversion, we can really build a solid marketing piece of real estate that becomes part promotion, part salesperson, part customer service rep, right? All of those moving parts
that our
company provides. So just love that.
If you're in a competitive market where there are a lot of people competing for that search traffic, which is a great source of traffic, it's Google and the other search engines are a fantastic tool. But if you're in a competitive market like that, he who has the lowest, the highest conversion rate wins, because that means you are getting people cheaper. And what you can do with that savings, if I move from 1% conversion rate to 2% conversion rate, I double my sales on the same traffic, which means I cut in half my acquisition costs. I could take that money and go ahead and buy more traffic. And it's coming in at the higher conversion rate. And it becomes this virtuous cycle in which I can start to dance and run rings around my competitors while they make all of the same mistakes, which I outline in the book, that you stopped making because you focused on conversion.
Right. And, you also, by doing that, this is what I think is exciting regardless of the size of your business, Brian, is it really, we're in a level playing field. We just need to get smart with how we're using the playing field, the tools that are on the field.
Oh, and there's an opportunity in every marketplace, because the big companies that have the big marketing budgets are doing a terrible, terrible job at conversion. So there's an opportunity for smaller players to really rise online. Zappos.com is a great example of that. They came out with an optimized site and a great value proposition, and in 10 years grew to almost $1 billion in sales, got bought by Amazon, and they actually charge more for their products than you see elsewhere. But they were able to charge more because they had a higher conversion rate.
Right. Yes. And they have great content and take care of that process very well as well. So it's an interesting time to have this conversation, and I have no doubt that there are folks listening going, okay, Brian, I get this. I need to improve what I'm doing with my website, or I need to look at how my formula needs to shift or change based on what you shared today. But it can feel pretty overwhelming, and we always want to get a starting point. So if I was one of your clients, or if you're a marketer out there looking to do some improvements, what is a one, maybe two action items, things that I can really start doing today to move to a better conversion science in my website?
I would start off, as I said at the beginning, go ahead and install Google Analytics. It's free. It's easy to install. You'll start collecting information about how many people are coming to your site, and you'll be able to tell how many people are taking action. I talked in the book about setting up tripwires, which are pages that indicate people have done something that you want them to do. A typical tripwire page is the thank you page or the receipt page after they've bought something. You look at the number of people that visit that page, look at the total number of people that came, that's your conversion rate. When you start to understand where you are on the spectrum of conversion rates, you can begin to start deciding where you're going to invest your money, more advertising, or am I going to take some time and improve my site? So that would be, hands down, the first thing that I would do. It won't be inexpensive, and it's magical.
Yes,
and then
I
the
love
other thing
that.
I would do is the next change you're going to make. So if you've got a blog post coming up, if you've got a design change that you're making, if you're rewriting one of your fact pages or something like that, ask two questions. Number one, if I do this, what do I think is going to happen? And be specific. Do you think more people are going to read the page? More people are going to stay on the site? That people are going to making a change to your homepage? Do I think more people will go into the site? Or, in other words, say that will your bounce rate drop? Because when somebody comes to your homepage and leaves right away, we call it a bounce. It's generally not a good thing. So ask yourself that very specific question. What do I think will happen here? And what will, how will I measure that? How will I know that that happened? The analytics that you installed in step one will generally be able to answer that question for you. So I think I'm going to improve the look of my homepage. I think it's going to reduce the number of people that bounce. Do that, and you'll start to be applying the scientific method.
Excellent. And these are such easy, very, I guess, low-hanging fruit ways to look at setting up an objective that you want X to happen, for example, less bounce rate, and then doing the activity to be able to measure whether or not that objective is being met.
That's right.
Perfect.
So in the book,
perfect.
I give you the basic tools, kind of the basic questions you would ask and the ways you would measure them. Apply some of those, and I think you're going to be hooked.
Excellent. And that is a great segue into Brian. You know, you've given us a lot of food for thought today on being the conversion scientist and possibly even being an apprentice conversion scientist in your lab, per se, Brian, right? But we want to make sure you mentioned your book, Your Customer Creation Equation. I want the audience to definitely connect with you directly and how to get the book. So what are the best ways to do that, Brian?
Well, I would invite you to visit the book blog. It's at customercreationequation.com. Once again, I've got a lot of syllables in there, but it's just the scientist in me. Customercreationequation.com, or you can just pop over to Amazon and search for my name, Brian Massey, and you'll...
Yeah. So is there you mentioned your website. Should we connect with you in any other way? Are you out on the Twitter sphere as well, Brian?
I am. You can look me up on Twitter. My handle is B Massey, B as in Brian Massey. You'll find the Customer Creation Equation page on Facebook. And we're on LinkedIn. So the book blog and Twitter is probably where you're going to get the regular updates. We're doing programs like this, and we're also doing videos and things. So we're continuing to expand on what I teach in the book, and again, let's make the web a better place for buyers and sellers.
One website at a time, right?
One website at a time.
Fantastic. And we also want, of course, give our shout out to our friends at Content Marketing Institute. You were published through CMI Books, the publishing arm, and I know they're fantastic over there and wonderful to work with. So I think as well,
really
you can
enjoyed
catch
it.
Yeah, and I think you can get the book on their site as well. They have a great book page set up. If you want to find out more about Content Marketing Institute and CMI Books, you can find, I think there's a connection as well to your book on that site as well. Just Brian Massey from Austin, Texas. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule and getting out of the lab today, Brian, to participate on Content Marketing 360 Radio Show. We appreciate your time, your energy, and your expertise.
I'm so glad you invited me on.
Excellent. Great. Well, you are listening to Pamela Muldoon. I'm your host, and this is Content Marketing 360 Radio Show.
Content Marketing Institution is looking for a few good authors. If you are a marketing expert who has always wanted to write that book, but not sure how to get it off the ground, publishing with CMI Books may just be the right fit. Content Marketing Institute is currently interviewing marketing professionals who have an authentic, genuine desire to help others by sharing their knowledge and have an expertise in specific areas that currently have an information gap. CMI Books wants to partner with you in the publishing process, not just simply publish your book. If you are currently presenting on your topic, have a well-established audience base, and are active as a social networker, and have built a solid online presence, you could be a perfect candidate for a publishing partnership with CMI Books. To find out if publishing your book with CMI Books is right for you, send an email to cmibooks@contentinstitute.com to request further information on next steps. You can also learn more at their website, contentmarketinginstitute.com. Who knows? Maybe you will be talking about your book on a future episode of Content Marketing 360.
So what conversion formula is right for your business? Well, my hope today is that after tuning in, some of the overwhelm of website development has been cleared away. And, of course, a big thank you to our friend, the conversion scientist, Brian Massey, for putting some clarity, systems, and, of course, process, some of the things we love here at Content Marketing 360, to creating a site for those stronger conversions, more qualified traffic. All good stuff as you head into the new year and start that plan for 2013. If you haven't done so already, of course, make sure that you pick up Ryan's book, Your Customer Creation Equation, Unexpected Website Formulas of the Conversion Scientist. Of course, our friends at CMI Books published this as well, and you can walk through the conversion formulas, choose the right one for you. Excellent resource for you, your business, and possibly the marketing professional in your life. So thanks again to our friends at Content Marketing Institute for partnering with Content Marketing 360 Radio. You can learn more about CMI and CMI Books at contentmarketinginstitute.com. And put this on your calendar, folks, September 2013. It's their annual content conference, Content Marketing World. Fantastic 2 years running, and it's just been seriously one of the best conferences I've ever attended, and I always look forward, we'll always look forward to the next one. Learn more, speakers, agenda, what's on deck in Cleveland in 2013 at contentmarketingworld.com. If you want to stay connected to us, which we appreciate, we love to have you part of our communities on the social web here at Content Marketing 360. We are on Facebook. Check us out at facebook.com/Content Marketing 360 to see some of the conversations we have as part of the podcasting and content community. Check us out on Twitter, follow us, and learn more about all the wonderful interviews that we're doing and the partnerships we've created at CM360 Radio is the Twitter handle for the show. I'm your host, Pamela Muldoon. That's at Pamela Muldoon, M-U-L-D as in dog, O-O-N. And, of course, my company, Next Stage Media Group, the principal that oversees all the mothership for me, right, that sees oversees all of this at Next Stage Media. We also have a LinkedIn group that's really growing and some great discussions and shared best practices around the content marketing process from some of the best of the best. And if you go out to LinkedIn, if you're an active participant, which I encourage you to be if you are not, check us out. Our group is Content Marketing 360, something new going on every week out there as well. We want you to check out the archived interviews. We have done some fantastic interviews. This partnership with CMI has offered us to speak, the opportunity for me to connect with seriously the best content marketers from all over the globe, and we're just so grateful, and we're learning every week right alongside you, and these folks are doing some fantastic work that is definitely archived on our website, nextstagemediagroup.com. Just click on Content Marketing 360 Podcast for all of the archived interviews, and you'll find us out on some of the podcast sites as well, such as Blog Talk Radio, Breaker, and SoundCloud. So we'd love to participate in the audio space and appreciate that you could join us and check us out as well. So thank you again for tuning in. I do appreciate it. I am Pamela Muldoon, your host, and sending out the content wish for all of you to simply put your best voice forward always.
This has been a presentation of Next Stage Online Radio, the internet radio station for Next Stage Media Group. For more information on our business and lifestyle programs, go to nextstagemediagroup.com.